Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show, and tonight, I got a friend of mine, I did an interview with Ty, and he said to me, tell everybody I said hi and avoid demons. Good advice. Avoid those damn demons. Tonight I'm going to be all over the place. Today I'm going to give you a little bit of a tidbit of some of the bullshit we're going to hear now. Australia's come out with a nano-delivery method to now target COVID-19 in a person. Now, think about this for a minute. It sounds really good. Sounds really exciting. Oh, we have a search and destroy. We have a missile that we can now fire at the COVID. We can take it out. Ooh, somebody stop me. But, here's the but. Nanotechnology, at the very least, is extremely dangerous, translocates, and can perform a function that it was never meant or intended to do. But now we have a homing device, so we're targeting a protein, a COVID-19 protein. COVID-19 is an identifier. Certification of Vaccination Identification 2019. Okay, this lie and the staging is un-effing believable. You can't have a homing targeting missile on a nanoscale for something that has never, ever been identified. Hasn't been identified. And you know what has gotten me going too? I'm looking at this shit. And they're talking now. SARS-CoV. How did we go from fish in a market in China to bats, bat shit, something from the South Carolina, Manitoba, Winnipeg, Corona, variant, SARS. I mean, it's astounding. It's astounding to me. I mean, the perpetuation of this deception is beyond imagination. Beyond imagination. And now we have a secret weapon. Now we have a missile. We have an anti-targeting missile that will shoot inside of an individual that will now zero in on the COVID-19 and search and seek and destroy. Ooh. You know what's funny about all this? I shouldn't say funny. That's not a good word because it's not funny. Ironic, satirical. Is the fact that the CDC themselves do not have a sample of this genetic material. 7 universities in the United States of America never found it either. In fact, they found influenza A and influenza B. They are on a kill. This is nothing but fucking murder. On every fucking level. It's the way it's got to be said. It's got to be hit home. The illusions that they are perpetrating and promoting and propagating here in regarding to what is there that isn't there, and the illusion and the imagination of something that doesn't even exist, and now we're going to target, what are they really targeting? You know what's also astounding in all of this? People who have taken these injections have died. And they've died relatively in pain. Painful death. And I was having a discussion with some people that I talked to. We talked on different levels, I guess, wavelengths, whatever. I says, what if the body, when it becomes programmed through an insertion point, what if that body becomes a portal? A chamber, a door, a cave, an opening. What if this injection somehow displaces the person that's there and is replaced by something else? What if? Speculation here. Just giving you something to think about. Because not everything is all as it seems. I was listening to a preacher the other day, a minister, and he was talking about shapeshifters. And I posted the link in Corinthians where Paul talks about shapeshifters. But then he said that Jesus shapeshifted, and his line of thinking was off. There was no shapeshifting with Jesus. Didn't have to shapeshift. But there is, again, possibility that Jesus used some sort of hologram to disguise himself. Possibility. Again, speculation. Based on the fact that we had two guys walking with Jesus, and they were walking, and they didn't recognize him until he broke the bread. Then they knew who he was. That was a trademark. But they didn't see him. So I wonder if that was a hologram. See, I told you, I don't read the Bible exactly the same way that some churches are teaching it. Because the churches are teaching churchology. I look at the Bible as a scientific study. I look at it as a historical study. I look at it as a book of facts. Because it has a lot of facts in it that we don't really understand today. And if we try to interpret some of the facts of the time based on the way we have learned to define the parameters of the words we're using today, we never will figure it out. We have to think along their terms, the way they talked and how they communicated. I grew up in a ghetto. The ghetto has its own language. It has its own vernacular. It has its own special words that people use to identify that they're from a certain area. When you are in a suburb, people in the suburbs speak a certain way as well, also identifying themselves that they're from a certain area. And if you're in the rural areas and counties, again, the same thing. So the language and linguistics of depending on where you are and how things are used to get a message across is completely different depending on where you are. Some things are basic and fundamental, but then there are some things, for instance, that just don't, you know, whatever. They don't mix, or they don't make sense somewhere else. So when I'm looking at some of the scriptural references there, you know, John saw a vision. He was a blind man. He was a blind man. He plucked his eyes out, and he's seen revelations. Now, was it a vision that on a holographic level? Was the vision that God had made him see, even though he was blind? You figure that out. You figure out whatever you want to call it. But what he saw and the reality of what he saw and the visual that he got, he was able to describe it precisely, which is interesting when you sit there and think about it. So when you look at the Bible sometimes, okay, Jesus was able to walk on water. Walked on water. Even had Peter come off the boat. Hey, come on. He says, "Dear Jesus, let me come." They saw him. They saw him after he died. Standing on water. Now, you know what's really interesting about water? I just learned this a couple of days ago. That water can conduct electricity. And I'm not saying you run a charge to it. It can actually make electricity if you know how to manipulate water. It's really cool. Basically, what you do is you get two containers and you set them so they drop drops. And you make a coil with an extension crossing over, because you have two buckets on the top, two buckets on the bottom, and you have two metal coils and coils underneath it, a loop and maybe a coil or a can underneath. And what happens is as the drop drops, it creates an induction. When it goes through the secondary coil, that coil then produces a positive charge, which goes across to the other pail, because you got these coils crossed over. So you got two pails or two containers dripping water through two containers, through two coils, and the coils cross over. So one becomes negative, one becomes positive. And they will create an arc, create an electrical arc. It's really interesting. So I'm saying, and then we know we can walk on water. Now, if you live up in Canada, you know you can walk on water, because when the lakes and the rivers freeze, you can walk on ice. That's walking on water. But what Jesus did wasn't walking on water. Not ice anyway, but he was walking on water. So somehow there was a frequency involved, so that allowed him to either defy gravity or to use water as a means of power to keep him afloat so he didn't sink. Now, Peter came out there, and he was believing that he was walking on water. He looked down and said, "I'm walking on water. Oh, shit." And then he started drowning. And the point about all that is, as long as you got your eyes on Jesus, there's nothing you can't do. You can do whatever. The moment you take your eyes off Jesus, you'll fall, kind of thing. Well, that's the lessons that we got way back when. But there are other things that you can glean from the scriptures other than, you know, some of the things that I just mentioned. But anyway, you know, there are things in the Bible that if you understand what you're reading, what you're looking at, what you're really looking at, you begin to understand there's something really powerful here. We're talking regarding frequencies, regarding energy, maybe regarding technology. But you got to look at it and you got to be open enough to see it. Some people call it miracles. And if you were uneducated, you would say, yeah, that's a miracle. I mean, who can walk on water? How do you defy gravity? You know? And this is something that the scientists today are coming to grips with energies and how you can alter energy. When we can create telephoresis and send frequencies across anywhere to alter nanoparticles or nanoconstructors to send programming from one place to another using frequencies, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. So here we got a group of scientists down in Australia, you know, trying to tell us, again, another staging, another manipulation of media to get us to still believe in a boogeyman that doesn't exist. They are hardcore, hard-ass, trying to kill off the population. I was listening to a guy named Dr. Coleman, a buddy of mine, Ty, sent me this video to watch, and I'm watching it. I'm listening to this guy. I am telling you something. The agenda has not changed since 1980. This guy goes into detail. I mean, we're talking deep, deep detail. It's worth to listen to, I thought. And he makes a comment around the 46 mark. I'm going to play this. Hopefully this thing will play properly. And you can listen to this so you can get the gist of, you know, what we're seeing today, what he's talking about back then, 1990, we're what, 2021? Whoa. Nothing has changed. The paradigm has not shifted 1 minute. Those who are in charge, the Committee of 300, he mentioned so many of these groups, but that one is the one that runs the show. That explained a lot here in Canada, when we have the charters, we have the constitutions are being shit on every which way but loose. They are walking over these things. We got two authoritarian provinces, Quebec and Alberta, trying to push their authoritarianism on the general population. They are completely flagrantly blindly and blatantly just crushing our civil liberties. And then I kept wondering, how could this be possible? Why hasn't the RCMP or the OPP or the police force themselves or the military have arrested these people for treason? And then when he mentioned the Committee of 300, he said, no, now it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Anyway, I'm going to play this. I want you guys to hear this. I'm going to let it play for a couple of minutes so that you get the gist of what's going on. Let's see if I can get it going here. Hold on.
The United States. He immediately wrote a paper in which he said there are too many people on the earth and that the United States, with its industrial development, its agricultural development, is responsible for this curse of overpopulation. And he picked up the documentation for his work from Lord Bertrand Russell, a senior statesman of the Committee of 300. And Lord Bertrand Russell had written a work called The Impact of Science on Society. And if you can ever secure a copy of that book, which I doubt you'll be able to get, you will see in there that he said, the world is grossly overpopulated and we have to get rid of at least half of the world's population. And it doesn't matter how we do it. So the Club of Rome was instituted and organized to start an attack on the world's population using the United States as the whipping boy. And they came up with a paper called the Zero Growth Post-Industrial Plan for Industry and Agriculture for the United States of America. 3 days after that plan was accepted as official United States policy by James Earl Carter, I was able to, through my intelligence people get a copy of this insidious document. Basically, what it said was that the middle class in the United States of America had to be destroyed, because in the coming push to a world order, the middle class would be the stumbling block, because history had shown that the peasant class in ancient days, when they had revolted, were just easily crushed. There was no resistance, but now had grown a new super class of people in the United States called the middle class, who had long-term employment, who had job security, who were well paid, who could afford to buy the products that were made by the United States and didn't need to buy products from China or anywhere else. And the Club of Rome post-industrial zero growth paper said, this has got to stop. We have to bring down the middle class of the United States. And the way that we will do this, the way that we will accomplish this task, is by crushing their industries. In 1980, based on this report, I wrote a small work, a booklet, called The Death of the United States Steel Industry. And in that, I told of a French aristocrat by the name of Etienne Davignon. And I'm sure there's not a single steel worker in America out of a job who's ever heard of this man's name. But they put this aristocrat onto the job of destroying first the steel industry. In my book in 1980, I said that by 1985 we would have silent blast furnaces. The rolling mills would be stopped. There'd be no more shipbuilding. We'd have thousands of skilled workers who'd passed the skills of their trade down for generations, who were forever dispossessed of their jobs. If you go to the Northeast United States today, ladies and gentlemen, and I've just been up in Cleveland where I had a very good radio address I gave there, you will find that what I said in 1980 has unhappily come to pass. In 1970, the United States had 5,000 ships built by good United States know-how, using good United States steel, 5,000 ships sailing the high seas. Last year, we had exactly 270 such ships, and at least 50,000 steel workers permanently out of a job, jobs that will never come back. What happened? Did we suddenly lose our marbles? Did we suddenly lose that great American know-how of getting things done? Did we lack finances? Did we run out of money? No. None of those things happened. What happened was this dastardly Club of Rome had sent their emissaries to the United States to deliberately destroy our steel plants. And they did it by opening the doors of so-called free trade. And everybody who signed the NAFTA Treaty, and everybody who signs the GATT Treaty when it passes, is a traitor and a seditionist. Our mighty steel industry is destroyed. Our shipyards are silent. Our skilled workers are permanently without a job. And if you don't believe me, get the report of the Club of Rome. You know, when I came out in 1969, with my report on the Club of Rome, nobody had ever heard of it. And people, when they got it, said, "Now this guy's paranoid. There's no such organization. It's probably something to do with the Catholic Church." Well, surprise, surprise, 25 years later, last year, the Club of Rome celebrated its anniversary, and Alexander King, its chairman, stated, "The American people henceforth must get used to the idea that they will never, ever again in their lifetime have full employment." What a scandalous thing that our government is fully cooperating with this organization built up by the Royal Institute for International Affairs to destroy the middle class of the United States and to add to the policies of global genocide. And that brings me to the next question. What is the Global 2000? Once again, when I heard about this policy, it was 3 days after it had been accepted by the United States government, as its official policy. And the Global 2000 was a blueprint for mass genocide produced by the Club of Rome. Basically, what the Global 2000 calls for is the destruction of half of the world's population by the year 2050, hence the title 2000. They built a case based on Bertrand Russell and H.G. Wells' findings that the world was going to be overpopulated, would be a terrible place to live in. That was picked up by a fellow called Robert Strange McNamara, and a stranger individual you're not likely to meet in this world. And this man had a conference of all the leading bankers about 12 years ago, and he said the biggest menace facing the world today is the American middle class and overpopulation. He linked the two together. And he said, by the year 2050, this is the state of the world. All of these unfed, unwashed people, no jobs. He said, do we want to live in a world like that? So the Global 2000 was a genocidal plan to take care of the people of the United States who don't have any jobs and, like Alexander King said, are never going to get their jobs back, and the masses of people in other nations. That is why we had the sudden appearance of AIDS. When I was in the service, I was told there's a CAB experiment, that's chemical and bacteriological warfare experiment, going on in Sierra Leone in Africa. That's a remote corner of Africa, West Africa, just above Liberia. If you look at your map, your atlas, and you'll see where it's located. Why Liberia? Extremely hard country to get to. You have to fly from London. That's the only way you can get there. You land on an island, and then you've got to take a ferry across to the mainland. And, of course, all people taking the ferry are heavily scrutinized. And I managed to work my way. I was told the Americans were doing the CAB experiment. I managed to work my way to within striking distance of a small mission station. And what I discovered was that these blacks were coming in from the bush to this mission station with broken arms or an ulcer on the leg or something like that. And they were ostensibly being treated there, but they were dead by the evening. What was actually going on was that a laboratory had been set up using Lassa fever virus. Now, at that time, Lassa fever was one of four viruses that could jump the human-animal barrier. And it was a deadly virus. They were trying to create a virus that could be mass-produced and it could be sent out through the World Health Organization to get rid of millions of people in the world. But the Lassa fever virus proved uncontrollable. It killed three scientists who were working there. So the orders came from Washington, burn the place to the ground, and that's exactly what they did within a radius of 100 miles. They bottled up some of these viruses they'd been experimenting with and took them back to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. There they began again, but again they escaped and killed three more scientists. So they incinerated the whole laboratory, sealed it off and incinerated. The same experiments are now going on in Harvard University right now. But they're not using the Lassa fever virus. That has proved to be too tough for them to handle. Instead, the United States government gave millions of dollars to the United States military chemical and bacteriological warfare establishment at Fort Detrick, and they began experimenting with the AIDS virus. I knew about the AIDS 3 years before the word ever came out in the world, in the United States particularly, because of my field work in Sierra Leone. The British government used their Porton Down CAB facility. It's easier to get into the Bank of England vaults than to get into Porton Down. All the deadliest viruses in the world are being crafted there. In pursuance of the goal, the Global 2000, to decimate the world. Shortly after this experiment had finished at Fort Detrick, the World Health Organization started a massive vaccination campaign. They said, for once and for all, we're going to wipe out the scourge of smallpox. They chose Africa and Brazil, launched a massive vaccination campaign. Immediately, AIDS began to appear. Thousands and thousands of people began dying of the strange new virus, which the World Health Organization then said had come from the bite of a green monkey. They forgot to tell you the green monkey's been there for centuries, and he'd been biting people if he ever did for centuries, but no disease of that nature had ever occurred. The World Health Organization deliberately took this virus, which was crafted from a series of animal viruses, including Mediavizna sheep, which destroys the brain, which is why you find AIDS patients get dementia probably first before any of the other AIDS-related complex diseases appear. And they began vaccinating innocent people on a massive scale, and they began dying like flies. Why Africa and why Brazil? Because those two countries had the biggest black population in the world. And I want to tell the black people of the United States of America, do not trust the Democrat Party. Do not trust government. Do not believe that government is your friend. To them you are dispensable, the same way as we are. Millions of people died. I went through Uganda on an inspection tour, and I saw whole areas decimated where previously there had been small towns and villages. There was not a living soul in sight. And that is going on today. The AIDS epidemic is completely out of hand. It swept the world. It's been swept under the carpet in the United States of America. We were told that this is a disease which is passed by homosexuals. True enough, but that's not the primary cause of it. This is a crafted virus that was spread throughout the world to decimate the population. Coming behind them, and we reported this about 2 years ago in our World in Review News magazine, is the Vibro 19 cholera virus, the deadly killer. You get this cholera in the morning. If it's not immediately treated with massive doses of expensive antibiotics, you'll be dead in a day and a half. This epidemic swept India, carrying away millions of people. I don't know if you've heard of it in the press. I doubt it. Behind that is a deadly strain of malaria, and some of our forces in Somalia contracted this disease. A strain of malaria which acts almost like the HIV virus. It attacks the human immune system. And behind that, the Black Plague. Now, you've had some experience with Black Plague recently. Experiments were conducted in this area and in California with the Black Plague, distributing them, these plague viruses, to definitive areas by means of enfolded scalar waves using extremely low frequency radiation, which was a warfare technique developed in 1934 by the great Soviet virologist V.A. Gertrude.
I wanted you to hear that because everyone's worried about 5G. 5G my ass. They have been using scalar energy on everything that we have been exposed to. They don't need 5G, and they never used 5G. When I saw what I saw going on in Wuhan, China, and I saw all the dead bodies in the buildings that were laying there as a result that they had killed over and died, they knew 5G couldn't do that because 5G cannot penetrate. Scalar can. 6G can. And we have been bamboozled to believe in some 5G mythos. 5G is already here and has been for quite some time. It's in your streetlights. It's in your voice recognition, facial recognition programs. It's there. They can target you with your fluorescent lights. But this was a means to transfer a deadly virus. Now, I never got bought into the AIDS thing. I did buy into the fact that it was a lab-made concoction. But AIDS simply doesn't exist. It's another acronym. Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. And this is the one thing people have never been able to separate, just like this COVID bullshit. COVID is an identifier. You could not die from an identifier if it beat you to death with a wet noodle. It's just impossible. But, create a cocktail. See, are you connecting the dots here? See, the man is telling you that they created this shit in a lab. Whether it was an American lab or British lab, you know, whatever. And then they released it on the world. They assaulted Africans, they assaulted East Indians, they assaulted South Americans, they assaulted poor whites in America, poor colored people in America, you know, ethnic people. Still going on. It's still going on. The only difference is this. Because what he's saying in regarding to the middle class is making so much sense here. Because what did our F-tard Prime Minister do in Canada? What did our premiers do, especially Ford? Oh, Ford, I have such words for that man. You know, this would become a quadruple X show if I started speaking Canadian the way I want to. That bastard had a multi-million dollar business running the whole time. Other people, other entrepreneurs, other people in the middle class were trying to sustain their middle class, okay, were losing their businesses. Restaurants are being fined for what? For a fakery. Foolishness. Okay. What? And stores have lost their revenue because they couldn't open up. And now we got this ridiculous bullshit where if you go into a store, they got to cover up. You can't even buy underwear in Ontario. Can you believe this? You got to go to America. America. Go shopping in America. Or you have to order this shit online. We're making Costco rich. We're making Walmart rich. We're making Amazon rich. We're making eBay rich. And we are now being forced to pay high-end dollar for bullshit. Shit made in China. You have no idea how that irks my ire. China. Fuck. F China. Jeez. So I almost slipped. This concept. See, I understood free trade between the United States and Canada. That made a lot of sense. Because at the time, basically, Canada had the resources, America had the manufacturing, so it was beneficial to both. And the products that were being made were made in Canada and the United States, which at the time were still high-quality, high-end products. Okay. Then they allowed the quality to go down the toilet, giving the corporations the excuse to go to Mexico. First they went to Mexico, remember that? And they couldn't get the Mexicans to work. It was too hot, and they said, chuck you, Farley. And so then they took the business to China, to Asia. And so all of a sudden, everybody started going to China. Did you know General Motors is owned by China? No longer an American company. Hasn't been for quite some time. That was part of the exchange for paying off the debt that they had borrowed to keep the credit cards going. And what he is saying about America's middle class being wiped out, that goes double for Canada. Right now, if you're living in certain hubs, you may not be feeling it depending on where you're living and the type of industry you're in. But I assure you, the middle class is going to get blitzed here in Canada. It's already happened. You can see where every place that has had a boom has had a major bust, and once it went bust, those jobs that were there are no longer there anymore. If you want to buy something now, you have to go online to buy the shit that you need. Because you can't, for number one, it's not made in Canada anymore, or if it is made, it's so outrageously expensive because there is no competition with these companies. And a lot of products we're buying today that we think are made in America or Canada are actually boxed here. The box is made here in Canada or the U.S. I found that out the hard way with the ionizers. So everything he has said has manifested. And what he's also saying about the manufacturing of these so-called weapons of mass destruction, let's call them what they are, viruses that are designed to wipe out cultures, wipe out ethnicities, wipe out people of certain religious aspects, wipe out geographical locations, wipe out people just because the color of their skin is a wee bit darker than normal. They said, I've never seen a black man before, ever. But it's identifying somebody as black. Are you kidding me? Or somebody that's white. But this, again, was designed to be a weapon. There is nothing that they haven't done to weaponize everything, including marriage, including relationships, including positions, political stripes, economics, status, everything that you have, you think you have, has been weaponized to bring you down somewhere, some way, sometime. And that's being an optimist. Because I'm letting you know the game, because if you are a young and upcoming person, say in your 20s, 30s, whatever, and you got your eye in the sky and you got looking for that big piece of the pie, you'll work your ass off for it. You'll strive to get it. It's going to be harder for you to get than the guy before, because you're part of a middle class or a class of people that are thinking prosperity and wealth and the norm. The general population thinks just in terms of existence. Make enough, pay my bills, get a little buzz, have a little sex, go back to work. That's what the extent of most people and how they think. But those who want to achieve something more, to increase their value or increase their security or increase their prosperity, you don't think that way. You're not wired that way. You're wired to go after that, whatever it is you're dreaming. Sometimes you get careless. And most times it's the carelessness that causes you to become undermined. But it doesn't matter. Everything that has been designed today in our system and society has been designed to rupture and destroy the middle class one way or another. And it's happening. And this eventful situation that we're in today, this fakery, this nonsense, this boogie-woogie boogeyman that we're hiding from because we were told that you're going to die. Oh, death is coming. We're going to protect you from death. Ooh. Sounds so stupid, it's ludicrous. We are all going to die one day, and it would be probably better if everybody started using the terminology, today is a good day to die. Then death won't scare you anymore. And if you're prepared to meet your maker, and if you believe in biblical terms or biblical scripts, believing in Jesus, as he said, that he can take you home, then you don't have nothing to fear if you believe what he said. Some of you don't, and that's entirely up to you. That is your choice, your prerogative. But my point is this, those who are looking at holding on to whatever you got, it is an exercise in futility. It will one day leave you, one way or another. So be prepared, and be prepared, like he is saying. There has been a plan and an assault to destroy the middle class in, he's saying America, but it's going on in Canada too. Doesn't matter where you go, BC, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, you name it. Pick anywhere, St. John's, you know, anywhere. And some people think because we have an oil industry here that we have security. What happened to Fort McMurray? They shut that down hard. They used probably directed energy weapons to get that fire going. More than likely. Nothing is what it appears. And everything has been designed to Shanghai you somewhere, some way, somehow. Okay, he's saying this. These people, the Committee of 300, the whatever that thing of Rome that he was mentioning, they are all there playing this game. Let me go play a little bit more here. Hold on.
This is not Buck Rogers stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This is today's deadly truth. So some of the Indian reservations were targeted, and all of a sudden they began dying of black plague. And then we were told, well, the harvest mouse droppings are responsible. Well, the harvest mouse has been doing his droppings for centuries, but none of them got the black plague before that. But what happened immediately following the so-called population control meeting in Cairo? There was a sudden and violent outbreak of black plague in India. And it is still going on, and it is not under control. This is all part of the global 2000 mass genocide plan. I know something about the Black Plague because in my research in the British Museum, I discovered that the Black Venetian nobility had never, none of their families or members had ever got the Black Plague. Yet the Black Plague, as you know, swept through Europe and killed half of the population of Europe. But none of their families ever got it. So I began seeking for the answers, and I found them in the Cairo Museum. So people said, well, how come, if these things are true, how are they going to protect themselves? They being the Committee of 300, their servants and their families, they have the means of protecting themselves by certain types.
Okay, I stopped it there. Because he's talking about herbs and stuff afterwards, and today it's far more sophisticated than using a herbal remedy. But the point here he's making, that everyone asked me this question, well, isn't this going to kill them too? No. If I build a nuclear bomb, and I have set the destination to, let's say, Ottawa, and I have put in there a redundancy program so that if somebody actually hacks it, it would reboot itself and continue in its initial narrative. That's their done design so that you cannot turn that weapon back to me. They all have this kind of technology. Now the point I'm trying to get across here is this. If they can create a means to destroy the population and reduce it down, and how many people have committed suicide during this time? How many young people just gave up? How many people were killed by these injectables? Doctors saying a couple days ago, 4,200 a day are dying from these injectables. 4,200 a day. 120,000 plus people a month are dying from being injected. And yet, not one of these injectables have been recalled. Remember when AstraZeneca caused all kinds of problems and Johnson & Johnson caused all kinds of problems and Pfizer caused, and what did they do? They pulled them off, and then they said the benefits outweighed the risk. That was a play on words. That was a play on words. That was an inversion. The benefit was that it was going to kill more people. The risk was people would wake up. And it was true. People didn't wake up. They're lined up to get these injectables. So the benefit is outweighing the risk. That's how they're thinking. They're not thinking that the benefits is outweighing the risk in regarding to that it's going to protect you more than kill you. People are dying left, right, and center in this shit. And you got to remember, the VAR is only producing 1%. 1%. Whatever happened to the other 99% that isn't recorded? I mean, so like I said, when we're looking at the they're saying 30 people died, you know, as a result of the injection that they got. Figured that number to be around 3,000, not 30. Like I said, we are living in some kind of nightmare here. This is such a pile of rubbish, you know. And when we're thinking in terms, and if we're thinking correctly in the right terms, it's just to go to show you how the benefits outweigh the risk with the mask. Look how much information has been put out there on the mask. Look how much shit has been shown with the mask having frequencies and having nanotechnology, fullerenes, serpent-like looking things, has graphene in it, it has asbestos in it, it has propylene glycol in it, it has cyanide in it, it has, you know, butane, you know, methane, all kinds of shit in the mask. It's on the box. It's in the ingredient list. The box even tells you these things do not stop anything. And yet, people stupidly put them on. Now they can't take them off. Okay, the paranoia we're going to live with for some time due to stupidity and hype and fear. And mask wearers now feeling paranoid, angry. They won't take the mask off. They're afraid. The boogeyman, I feel so secure putting my little mask on. Oh, man, I'm secure. Where's your mask? You're scaring me. A couple of days ago, we saw a guy getting an AstraZeneca vaccine, and then he was able to turn on a TV, and the transponder in his injection was now transponding to the television. Now, a guy sent today, someone sent me today, that you're being tracked. It's a Russian vaccine. They can, in real time, detect where you are, what you're doing, everything about you. They can now track you with the vaccine. The Russians are notorious for screwing their own people, just like the United States government, just like the Canadian government. There's a similarity to the way they work. This, like I said, you know, there's another thing that came out today, and I saw this as a distraction. I posted it. Not that I believe it, but it says something about the Navy SEAL storms Gates Wyoming Ranch. Okay. And so I'm thinking to myself, the Navy SEALs have to confront Bill Gates' security, and then they were able to get past the security networks and security guards, and they got in and they arrested him, or they found certain things inside his domain, because his wife now has ratted on him, saying that he had this dungeon down below, and he was, you know, having his way with young women and maybe feeding on them, and Epstein was with him one time, and the story goes on and on and on. They're going after Silly Billy. Silly Billy's outlived his usefulness. He will slowly disappear. That's why him and his wife are going through a divorce, because he is going to slowly disappear. And I don't mean necessarily dead. I mean slowly disappear. Just like I don't believe Epstein's dead either. I think they slowly disappeared. So, when we're looking at some of the... a couple of days ago, OSHA made a comment that the workers were now going to be protected by their employers if their employers forced them to be vaccinated, that the employers would be subject to a liability. Today, they flipped it around. Committee of 300 said, you will tell them this, and we don't give a shit how you do it. Let them know. So they did. It had to be the Committee of 300, because the Committee of 300, according to the speaker there, says they control everything. How is it that these institutions that have been put in place to protect people in their jobs or in their work environments are now being told to back off? Who is telling them to do this? Who has that kind of authority? Imagine that. There was another thing I was listening to, and the guy was talking about the insurance companies. The insurance companies are the most corrupt companies on the planet. You have no idea. He breaks this thing down to such a level that, you know, did you know that the insurance companies actually started to insure ministers in the Protestant churches? I heard that. I thought, what irony. Because what would happen was the ministers of the day never made enough money. You know, they never got paid well, and so they had to borrow money to be able to exist, live, buy a house, or do whatever. So a lot of times when they died, they didn't have the money to cover their expenses, so when they died broken, and people and other institutions lost money. So they decided that they were going to insure these ministers so that at the end of their death, their debts would be paid. Interesting how this all got started. Today, when you sit there and understand this, everything you do is insured. And we're paying all this cost for nothing. Absolutely nothing. I remember as a kid, when I was in my preteens, I remember my family, I was living in the U.S. at the time, in Michigan. We didn't have insurances. We didn't have car insurance. You paid the state $65. The state insured you. You were able to drive. That was it. All you needed. But then the insurance companies got involved with the political, in the political realm, and started endorsing candidates. And when they won, they passed laws and rules. How many of you in Ontario Remember when Bob Ray was running for the premier, I think back in, what is it, the 90s? Forget who he ran against now, shit. But remember his platform? You remember his platform? His platform was he was going to take away the insurance and that the province was going to provide insurance for the drivers. Till he won. Everybody voted for him for that reason. We figured we were going to have something like Manitoba had at the time. So when he campaigned that he was going to get rid of the insurance companies, there was, yeah, man, we're going to save a couple thousand dollars a year. And when he got in, he looked and he looked at, and he had a speech and he said, oh my gosh, the Liberal government did not show us the books that we needed to see. We can't comply with this obligation. I think they told Bob Ray, if you do this, you're done. We will make sure you're done. But you play ball and you'll be rewarded. That's what happened, I think. But anyway, if you, those of you who were around at that time and can remember that far, will remember that the campaign was, that's what it was based on. So when you listen to this, this is going to be an eye-opener. And this is one of the reasons why this situation is not shutting down either. The insurance companies are going to, are making a fortune on insuring these drugs. Not you, the drugs. They get into this whole thing. You know, it's amazing. Amazing, you know. It's amazing what, how they made money with nothing. With nothing. The there was another report today in India that 200 East Indians were jumping in a river to avoid being injected. They said, no way, F you, and they left. they tried to surround them, and they got away. Imagine that. They have enough sense to know that they are being genocided or democided. Only in Canada and America do people not understand what it means to be genocided or democided. Or planicide. Don't understand it. They just line up, voluntarily take the injectable, and start to die. Amazes me, you know. There was a woman out in BC, did a speech. She's a Romanian. Man, she was talking tough, boy. She was talking about it. This is not for Canadians to wake up here. She was saying that the that when the communists came in, the first thing they did was they didn't allow you to drive and they shut down stores. They shut down markets. And then they shut down the churches. What is going on in Canada? Oh, Canada. What's going on? Middle class is being destroyed. You're going to have limitations to, they want to bring in Uber and all these self-driving vehicles so you don't have to drive a car no more because we got to keep it green. They haven't said that for a while, but yes, that was the agenda at one time. Churches, ministers are being arrested and fined, which I got today. Two ministers, I think, had their fines thrown out of court. It's just going to be a matter of time. Either we flip it or the judges are going to get flipped. That's the reality of Canada. So if you're not awake, time to wakey-wakey, or your country that you know today, that you come and love, come to love, or come to use, either way, will not be here tomorrow if you don't stand up. That's where we're at today. So I'm trying to convey all this and get this across to show you that nothing has changed. The assault, the method of the assault is the same. The only difference is the proficiency and the efficiency of what we're doing today and what they're doing in order to create the assault has now been propagated a little bit differently by creating a major fear factor Okay, so that everybody would capitulate to the fear and immediately run and demand to be injected. That is what we are seeing. And those of us who are not injected, not infected with these injectables, we're going to have to start thinking in terms of protecting ourselves from exposure. And this may force a relocation all by itself. Because who the hell is going to want to stick around in a community of dumbasses who took something that it wasn't approved? Either that or we're going to have to form some kind of committee. But if you're in any kind of mainstream city or town, you're not going to be able to avoid people. You're not going to be able to keep people at bay. You're going to have to be in a place where you can control entry. Only way. As I was making a point the other day, you know, now you're going shopping, but what if you say, I'm not going shopping. I'm going to order my food. I'm going to order from the market. They're going to deliver it to my door. Okay? Who touched your food? How did your food get to the market? Who put it there? What farm? Were these people injected? Has it jumped from them to the food? As he was mentioning that the specific virus that they were talking about was able to jump from both men and or people and animals, this COVID has jumped from people to cats and dogs and vice versa. So these are things I'm presenting to you not to scare you, but to smarten you up on the way this has become weaponized. They got you focused one way, and you see this part of it, and you see that part of the equation, but you're not looking at the other aspect of it. Where does this shit coming from? It was the farmer injected. And you may want to start finding people that are in business, especially in the food processing, farming, gardening, whatever, that aren't injected. Because if you're intending on eating food that isn't been violated, that's about the only way you're going to get it unless you grow it yourself. Because the other day I talked about the show. They're planning on burning these bodies. And then spreading the shit all over the food supply. Lovely. Like I said, they are out for blood. They don't care. Like they said, they don't care how it gets done. They don't give a shit about you. Don't think because you got money, they care. They don't. Don't think because you own major businesses that you count. You don't. You're not in that club. They will take from you, though, your wealth and your prosperity when you're dead. They'll reacquire that. That is the reality. So they don't care. You need to start to think. I don't give a shit what other people think. I don't give a shit about other people's opinions. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. And that's how you better start thinking in regard to opinions. You better start thinking in terms of what do we do in these situations? How do we offset what's going to come? How do we protect ourselves? What do we do to protect us from the exposure? You know how they do these zombie movies and these zombies are walking around like they're half asleep and they're half dead? Well, that's what we got going on already. And they haven't been zombified yet. You know, the zombies are always reaching out, trying to find the person that hasn't been infected, and they're trying to reach. That's the genetic operating system that's in these people trying to hop to inject or to infect you with the same genetic code. Like I said, they have been displaying and showing us what their intentions are and how they're going to do it. Now it's time to think, what do we do? How do we do what we do? You know, how do we protect? How do we defend? How do we offend? Okay, I like the Lombardi's version of defense. The best defense is a good offense. So let's be offending. Sounds good to me. Having an offense, you know. Whereas you're going somewhere and you already have things engaged to protect you and to offend or keep things away from you so they can't jump. something to think about. All right, I'm going to let it go right there. As I always say at the end of these shows, I encourage everybody to read the Gospels, read what Jesus had to say, start reading the Gospels, look at things. Look at things, you know, and see what you need to see. You know, God will show you what you need to see. But there are things in there that you may pick up on, and it's something for you to everybody to read. I always encourage everybody to read the Bible. You know, read and see what is there. Read what Jesus had to say. You might be surprised. You might just be surprised. You know, read Revelations. Start reading these things. See the correlation, how they're engaging, what they're engaging, and how it ties. What it's like we're reading the script. Someone was saying that today. I was talking to somebody saying it sounds like predict the program. I said, well, you could look at it as a scheduled event. If you read this in Revelations, and you read this in Daniel, and you read this in the Gospels, and you see these things going on, well, these are scheduled events that the Bible told you about. You can look at it that way too. So anyway, check it out. Check out what Christ had to say. Check out what Jesus was saying. You know, because this is going to get fun. I'm going to tell you. And it ain't the kind of fun that you are going to enjoy. So just to let you know. So that's why I tell you, read the Gospels. Get the, you know, that's the hope. That's the real hope. Okay. I got people on my page as well that are out there, you know, helping, trying to help everybody out. So again, you know, you got Liberty has an interview going on today. Deanna Spangola, Catherine, Fiona, Three Hearts Church. You got Yanni. You got Shy. You got Ty. You got myself, you got Brian, we got everybody here trying to let you know what's happening and helping you connect the dots. So any way you can help them financially, anybody you want or all of them, whatever you feel you can do, please do so. Help everybody and anybody. If you don't have the finances, don't worry about it. Everybody goes through tough times. We all know that. We all go through tough times. This is why we need support sometimes. But share the data. Share the information. Share the, hey, man, you should see what this guy's got to say. Read this, read that. You know, share the information. You know, do what you can. All righty. On that note, I always say at the end of these shows, you know, we're still here by the grace of God. Remember that. We're still here. So to the next segment, to your health. Take care.